From hats in the hall closet to bats in the belfry, we can help you save money on the basics. Hi, I'm Rob West. Today we'll offer you a few common sense strategies for saving money on three of the basics: clothing, utilities, and home maintenance. Then we'll take your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, managing your money wisely doesn't have to be complicated. A simple spending plan can help you keep track of what comes in and what goes out. But what about the necessary things like clothes, energy, and shelter? If you feel like these expenses are out of control, we'd like to help you today. Let's start with clothing. In this category, the temptation is to buy whenever there's a sale or to chase after the latest styles, or both. When you have kids, and especially teenagers, you have the added problem of sizes changing all the time, not to mention another set of opinions on what's cool. Well, here's how to keep your family's wardrobe looking sharp for less. First, you don't have to buy new. Instead, visit local thrift stores where you'll find deals on current styles as well as wardrobe basics. If you have kids, this is where you'll save. Teenagers might push back on this, but give them a budget and challenge them to find something they like. They'll enjoy having a bit of freedom in the matter and seeing how far their money can go. If you do shop retail, use coupons and loyalty programs to get discounts. Consider consignment stores, too. You'll find stylish clothing there, and when you're done with your gently used items, you can trade them in for cash or a discount. That's money back in your clothing budget. Next, try rethinking your closet. What I mean is, instead of filling it with clothes and shoes that you'll wear only once or twice, think multi-purpose. A good pair of slacks can take you to work or church. A neutral skirt can work for an interview or an evening out. You get the idea. The goal is to have a few high-quality basics that can do double duty in your wardrobe. Focus your spending on that core wardrobe and then let your accessories and thrift store add-ons provide color and variety. Okay, our next category for saving is utilities. The first strategy is to buy energy-efficient appliances. I'm not saying you should replace all your existing appliances at once, but when it's time to put in a new washing machine, choose one that costs less to run. While you're at it, you may be able to find a deal on a scratch-and-dent appliance. Another way to save money on energy costs is by using LED lighting. When you need to replace a bulb, it's worth the extra cost up front to buy LEDs. They'll pay for themselves over time with longer life and more energy efficiency. Next, check with your utility company about rebates for installing energy-efficient systems in your home. You might get money back for installing an electric hybrid water heater, for instance, or putting in a smart thermostat. Your power company will have details about rebates on their website. A simple way to reduce your energy bill is by unplugging appliances, turning off electronics, and adjusting your thermostat, especially when you're not at home. All right, our last money-saving category is home maintenance. If you own a home, you can't just assume all is well. Like a car, your home needs regular attention just to keep it functioning smoothly. Ignoring this might not cause a breakdown on the highway, but it can result in very expensive repair or replacement costs. For instance, dirty filters can make your heating and air conditioning system work much harder, which makes it wear out sooner. For plumbing, be aware of possible pipe leaks or dripping faucets. Avoid overflow problems by having your septic tank pumped out regularly. If you have one, you get the idea. Heating and air conditioning is one of your home's most important systems, so don't ignore that either. Have your HVAC system checked at least once a year to make sure it's operating at maximum efficiency when you need it most in summer and winter. Second, do an annual check of the caulking around your windows, doors, and light fixtures. Install new weather stripping around doors and windows if necessary. If your home feels too warm in the summer and too cold in the winter, even after you've sealed the air leaks, you may need more insulation. Again, check with your power company about rebates for that. While I'm talking about home maintenance and insulation, let me ask you, when was the last time you checked under your roof? If you have an unused attic space, make sure it's not becoming a home room for critters. If you've got wildlife guests in the attic, it'll take a professional to get them out and seal the space, but don't put that off. Aside from the sanitation issues, rodents can chew on electrical wiring, which makes them a fire hazard. All right, I hope we've given you some practical ideas today. Your calls are next. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Summer is coming. Every day we can sense the weather getting warmer, the sun hitting harder. It reminds us that we need to put on sunscreen before going outside, but also we need to stay hydrated. The sons of Korah, writers of Psalm 42, also acknowledge the importance of hydration, but not in the way we might expect. Listen to the first verse of this psalm. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. The writers were thirsty, not to drink water, but to know the living God. Next time you feel the need to drink during a hot summer day, treat it as a reminder. We must feel that same need to know the God who loves us. Grow in your walk with Christ. Visit getanchored.com.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Few people can survive success. For every 100 who live through adversity, there is only one who can live through prosperity. David is one who survived it.
Dr. David Jeremiah shares the high cost of success on the next Turning Point Weekend Edition.
Listen to Turning Point Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches, and we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance Program. More information is available at LitePointPortfolios.com.
Hope for Zambia, empowered by family legacy, is a ministry providing hope to vulnerable and orphan children in Zambia by investing into their spiritual, intellectual, physical, and emotional growth and well-being. Whether distributing 5 million meals each year to students or empowering them to graduate from high school and go on to pursue post-secondary education, we believe that when you educate a child, you change their world. Go to hopeforzambia.com/faith to transform a life.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. All right, our phone lines are open for your questions today. Anything financial can be a part of the conversation. 800-525-7000. Again, that number, 800-525-7000. We'd love for you to call right now and be a part of the broadcast today as we apply God's wisdom to the financial decisions and choices you're making today. Undoubtedly, there's something you're wrestling with in your financial life, and we'd love to tackle it with you. Again, 800-525-7000 is the number to call. In the news today, the Dow Jones Industrial Average has ticked up this morning. We're just passing the 200-point increase mark, about a half of 1% higher at 34,400. Why is that? Well, the Federal Reserve skipped a rate hike at its most recent meeting, but the reason I say skipped is it doesn't mean it's all down from here. They signaled that two more rate hikes may still be in store later this year. They're keeping, of course, a close eye on inflation, and Chairman Powell is very clear that we may not be done. In fact, they're expecting rates to continue to move higher. Although the market welcomed the news of the temporary pause, perhaps, they're all eyes on the post-meeting press conference where his remarks talked about the cumulative tightening of monetary policy, and they're going to use the next 6 weeks just to evaluate what's going on in the markets and the economy as these rate hikes continue to do their job, especially as they're taking money out of circulation here through tightening the monetary supply. He added that a decision on July's policy move has not been made officially, and we will continue to watch, and it will weigh on the markets between now and then at their next Federal Open Market Committee meeting. So all eyes, again, on the Fed. It seems like they are the primary driver of these markets as they continue to watch inflation. And unfortunately, it wasn't all good news. The latest inflation data shows a slight tick up with one of the key indicators, so that's something we will certainly have to keep an eye on. All right, we're taking your calls and questions today. We'd love to hear from you. We can talk about spending strategies like we opened the program with today, as I know you're trying to balance your family's spending plan, and it's harder now than it's been in a long time, or whatever you're thinking about. Maybe it's investing or paying down debt or giving. We'd love to talk about it. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's head to Texas. Steve, you'll be our first caller, sir. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I listen to a lot of financial news, and it's inundated with news about the U.S. dollar, the decline of the U.S. dollar, how the U.S. dollar is not going to be the major central bank asset of central banks around the world. And then really famous people like Warren Buffett are saying that the U.S. economy is no longer going to be an exceptional economy going forward and such. And I just wonder, is it time to look overseas on overseas stock markets for investments, or should I stay right here in America?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think to the latter part of your question, it's absolutely an appropriate time to have an allocation to the international stock markets. I mean, we've been saying for a long time, and Bob Dahl, who joins us regularly, a veteran Wall Street money manager managing billions of dollars, has said that we believe that the international stocks will continue to outperform the U.S. in the near term. We saw that last year. It's continuing this year. And I think that that just underscores the idea of being properly diversified, Steve. That includes not only diversified among stocks and bonds, but inside your stock allocation, diversified among small cap and large cap, growth and value, but also domestic and international. So I think clearly you want an allocation to the international markets. As to the long-term outlook for the U.S. economy, I mean, I would certainly agree that the trends are not good. I mean, our runaway debt, our sky-high inflation are problematic. We've got our demographics long-term that are working against us as we have less babies, and we've got more people aging out of the workforce. And then you have to factor in, apart from the life issue, which is paramount, the economic implications of nearly 30 million babies that would be in prime working age who've been aborted. I mean, all of these things put together just create some challenges for us. And yet, and I think this is a big deal, the U.S. is still the primary player. We're the biggest and strongest economy in the world. We have a lot going for us here in the U.S., protected by oceans, just the richness of the natural resources we have, the policies here that value human life and productivity, despite some of the cultural challenges we're facing right now. I think we have a lot going for us in terms of the American ingenuity and how far ahead we are in technology. So I think we will certainly continue to be a dominant player, although I would say for the first time in our lifetime, the possibility of a debt crisis is really a possibility here. And it's probably a decade or two away if we don't change some things and rein in spending and try to get this going in the right direction. But but our largest federal expenditure in the not-too-distant future will be interest, and that's not a good thing. But we can handle it at these levels, just given the size and strength of our economy. In terms of the U.S. dollar, I would just say, you know, if we're grading on a curve against any other viable currency out there, there really isn't another option at this point. I mean, the euro hasn't proven to be a viable alternative, and the yuan and really any others. 60% of global currency reserves are in U.S. dollars. 90% of all foreign exchange trades involve the U.S. dollar. So, yeah, there are longer term implications to all that we are doing and the Federal Reserve's action and our monetary policy and our debt levels and the near zero interest rates for over a decade. I mean, all of that is real, and yet there really isn't another alternative. So what do we do with all of that? Well, we need to show up and vote for people who understand God's design for economics and wealth creation, that we need to value human life, and that we're more heart and mind and hand than we are mouth. And therefore, we need to understand that God created us to be productive, and inside that productivity creates economic expansion and wealth creation, and we should then respond to the God who created us in generosity, and that virtuous cycle is how God designed it. And when we don't follow that, there are implications to that. I think the other thing we need to just really be focused on is the primary opportunity we have is our own economies, what's passing through our hands, spending less than we earn, avoiding debt, setting long-term goals, giving generously, trusting the Lord, having margin, and demonstrating to the world how God would have us to handle His resources, understanding He is king and not the state or the government. So I know that's a lot to throw at you there, Steve, but I think the bottom line is I wouldn't be exiting the stock market. I wouldn't be exiting the banking system, but I would be properly diversified, and that should include an allocation to international stocks. But give me your thoughts on any or all of that.
Well, one, just it's an amazingly detailed and brilliant answer, and I thank you for that. Any guidance on allocation?
Yeah, in terms of how much to have in international?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I would say you know, a typical allocation, depending upon your age, just in general, somewhere between 10 to 20% of your overall portfolio, I would say, for the average investor who's still got time on their sides, should be for the stock portion of your portfolio, I would say generally about 20% international. But that all varies according to your age and your risk tolerance. I've got to take a quick break, Steve. Thanks for the program. We'll be right back.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe that our ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on earth, belongs to God, and our role is that of a trusted manager.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Friendships is offering an exciting opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, become physically fit, and learn relief ministry while serving in the Middle East. This is an amazing opportunity to serve God and experience Israel. Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins August 19th.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
Dad was concerned about the direction America was headed, and he was determined to do something about it. Maybe that describes you today. If it does, I want to strongly encourage you to consider a charitable gift annuity to American Family Association Foundation.
Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We've got some lines open for your calls and questions today. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. Let's revisit this conversation we were having with Steve just before the break. It was specifically related to the U.S. dollar as a reserve currency. You know, my friend Ken Franke likes to remind us that often people speak of the end of the dollar as a reserve currency and that being imminent. Frankly, comments like that reveal, I think, a misunderstanding of how the international monetary and currency systems work. Analyst James Ricards points out that the key mistake in almost all such analysis is a failure to distinguish between the respective roles of a payment currency and a reserve currency. You see, payment currencies are used in trade for goods and services, remittances of dividends, interest, royalties, any flow from a direct foreign investment. Almost everything we read about the dollar's demise has to do with other nations' efforts to substitute their local currency or a new multilateral currency for the dollar, but as a means of payment in trade relations and remittances. This is entirely different than a reserve currency, which is like the savings accounts of sovereign nations who earn surpluses from international trade. So I think it's important just to distinguish between those two as we think about the implications of potentially being replaced as the world's reserve currency. Keep in mind, 60% of the global currency reserves are in dollars. Second place at only 20% is the euro. So, and we still, as I mentioned earlier, 90% of all foreign exchange trades involve the dollar. So it's a far cry from the dollar being replaced anytime soon. And hopefully that distinction is helpful to you as you think about where we're headed in the future. All right, we've got some lines open today. Whatever you're thinking about financially is a worthy topic to get in on the conversation. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's head back to the phones to Oklahoma. Craig, go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Yes. I was telling your call screener that it's been back several months ago now. I was offered a deal from Social Security that if I would take the pay for 69 years old, 69 and a half, excuse me, versus 70, which I was 70. That they would give me a check. And at first she didn't tell me how much, and I said, well, how much? And then she come back and she said $22,000. And at $22,000, I kind of did a quick figure in my head, and I thought, I'll never make up the $22,000, you know, at the, like $160 a month. I thought it would take me forever, you know, to make up that difference. Have I made a mistake?
How was this brought to you? I'm a little confused by it because, you know, I'm not familiar with this approach, and part of me thinks this might have been a scam. How did you get this information that you could take a reduced benefit amount at an earlier age in exchange for a lump sum payment?
Well, when I called in, I talked to, I think it was Larry. Was that the gentleman's name that passed away? that was doing your show.
Larry Burkett? Yeah, back in early 2000s. Uh-huh.
I talked to him back several years ago, and he said, you know, and I told him I was kind of, as far as 401k and all that stuff, you know, I have very little in it. It's somewhere less than $50,000. And he said the best thing for me to do would be to wait till I was 70 and then draw Social Security. So I did that. Well, when I called and was making the arrangements, the lady come back and said, you can, if you will back up to 69 and a half, we will send you a $22,000 check.
I see. Yeah, yeah. I'm following you now. And just a clarification, it was probably Dan Celia who you were talking to. Dan was the former host of this program in the last few years.
Unfortunately,
Dan passed away, but a lot of folks just so grateful for his ministry over a long time. Okay, I'm following you now. Yeah, there is the ability to get a lump sum option worth 6 months of Social Security benefits. So, you know, would it have been better to take that and invest it and take the reduced amount, or would you be better to get the higher check for life? I mean, eventually, it typically works out to about 12 years that you would have to live in order to make that up, and then at that point you would be in the money, so to speak, for the rest of your life with a higher check. So if the Lord tarries, and if he doesn't, it doesn't matter, but if he does and you're in good health, and you'll live beyond 82, you'd probably be glad that you didn't take it and that you get this higher check for the rest of your life.
Okay, well, that's the problem I have. I already took it.
Oh, okay. And that's fine too. I think the key is just to put it to work for you. What did you do with it?
Right now, I paid off I'm debt free.
Okay.
I still have about $12,000 of it left in the bank. It's just sitting there. It's not really doing much. It's kind of an emergency fund for me or something along them lines. Yeah. I am still working.
Okay.
I still have an 8-to-5 job that I'm still doing. If the Lord allows me to continue on, which he has been with me for a lot of years. A lot of people don't realize I'm 70 years old when they look at me.
Wow. And that's great. Well, I don't think this was a bad decision. I like the fact that you paid off some debt. I like the fact that you shored up your emergency fund. Let me ask you, Craig, if you were to stop working, do you have enough with the benefit you will or are receiving plus your savings to maintain your lifestyle, or are you going to fall short in terms of covering your monthly bills?
You know, it's really close. Really close.
Okay. Yeah, I think the key is just continuing to work as long as you can and save so that you've got something to fall back on. But I think Dan gave you great advice. I would have said the same thing. So you just keep following Jesus, live modestly, and work as long as you can. God created you to be productive. We know that. Thanks for your call today, sir. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools. And their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our program. God's blessings to you all.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
When we follow Jesus, the things of this world grow strangely dim. We focus less on ourselves and more on God's kingdom. In Michael Blue's book, Free to Follow, we're reminded to surrender everything to Jesus and follow Him. Free to Follow explores what the Bible says about money and possessions and challenges you to rethink the way you view and use them. Request a copy of Free to Follow with your gift of any amount to faithfi.com/follow.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We've got some lines open today. We'd love to hear from you, whatever you're thinking about financially. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Let me touch on a topic that I think is often overlooked on the part of stewards that is so critical. It's not one we like to talk about, but it is really important. You need to think about your estate plan. Now, there are some common misconceptions about estate planning that I'd love to touch on today because I think this is really important. I'll move through these and we'll certainly mix in your calls and questions along the way at 800-525-7000. First, a definition. What is estate planning? Well, it essentially prepares your assets so that your wishes and the law are followed in the event of your death, but also, and a lot of folks miss this, in the event of your incapacitation. You see, your estate is everything you own. It's your car, it's your home, it's your bank account, it's your investments, your life insurance, as well as your personal possessions. Now, an estate plan can include a will, but also legal trusts, powers of attorney, funeral arrangements, and even healthcare directives. So your wishes can be followed in the event that you need decisions made and you're unable to make them. You know, the first assumption that I want to dispel today is that estate planning is about what happens after you die. And that's only partly true. While an estate plan does prepare your assets, or what's called your estate, quote unquote, for distribution after your death, it also goes into effect if you become, again, incapacitated, which gives instructions about your medical care and how to handle your financial affairs. So really important to think about your estate plan. And I'll give you a few other misconceptions between now and the end of the program. But the first one to realize is that it's not just about death. It is bigger than that, which makes it really important. All right, back to the phones we go. Let's get another caller here. First-time caller, Chris in Alabama. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, sir, for taking my call. My question is, my daughter's getting married toward the end of the year, and I don't have the money to pay for it in savings, but I've got a 401k that's got about $175,000 in it, and or do I take a personal loan?
It's a good question. Were you thinking of taking a withdrawal from your 401k or a loan from your 401k?
Well, I was looking at it, and they were going, if I do a withdrawal, then they were going, I'm fully vested, so I've got 35 years in with my company. So yeah, they were going to go ahead and take the taxes out to pay, you know, the federal.
Yeah, 20% so, probably.
Yeah. It was, yeah, and the loan is probably cheaper I wasn't real sure on, you know, because of the amount. I'm not wanting to borrow a whole lot. Thank the Lord that my daughter is not. She's kind of frugal like me, so yeah. They're not going to have an exorbitant wedding. But
that's good. Yeah. Well, I would say, Chris, first of all, I love that you're giving this some careful thought. Number two, I think it's important to try to set that not to be exceed number that you want to make available to her. And if they decide to go over that, they're going to need to fund that themselves. And you could also make the opposite true, is that if they want to spend less than the amount you're willing to give them, then they can hang on to that for maybe a down payment, first, last, and security on a apartment, or maybe a down payment on a car or something like that. So I think the key is to think about how much you can actually afford and then have that conversation with them, because we don't want to impact your retirement plan, you know, just to pay for this wedding. You know, and I think to that end, I would prefer you don't touch that 401k as a loan or a withdrawal, especially right now while the market's down. I want all that money to be available to recover and continue to grow as we get beyond the recession and these interest rate hikes, so that you've got what you need as much as possible to offset or to supplement Social Security to cover your expenses. So I think the key is set a modest amount as what you would be willing to fund. And then I think if you don't have it available, taking that personal loan and just trying to limit your lifestyle as best you can so you can pay it back as quickly as you can is probably the best approach at this point, as opposed to pulling that money out of the 401k and preventing it from being able to recover with the market.
Right. Okay. Well, that was, you know, it's not going to be a large personal loan. Plus, I don't have a lot of personal debt.
Yeah.
And so it was probably going to be $10,000 or $12,000. So
yeah.
I've got a friend that's at a local credit union that, you know, said he could set it up for, you know, 5 years if I wanted it. So
yeah, that's great. And I think just try to focus on prepaying that and getting that paid off as quickly as you can by just cutting back wherever possible and sending extra money. Don't just settle into the automatic scheduled payment. Try to accelerate that to the best of your ability. But hey, Chris, congratulations. You sound like a wonderful father, and all the best to your daughter and her future husband as they enter this exciting season of life. God bless you, my friend. Thanks for being on the program. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. To another first-time caller in Tennessee, Hugh. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. I'm just wanting to check with you to see what your thoughts are on investing and rolling part of your IRA, 401k or IRA from a you know, from that to a gold or silver.
Yeah. I like the precious metals. I wouldn't overweight there personally. I mean, it's a safe investment. It's a safe haven when the markets typically are in decline because it's uncorrelated. It also can be a little bit more volatile than a just properly diversified stock and bond portfolio. It's not an income generating asset. So, you know, unlike stocks and bonds, the return on gold is based entirely on the price appreciation. Were you thinking of investing in physical gold through like a self-directed IRA, or were you thinking of buying just maybe a gold tracking ETF that just follows the price of gold inside the existing retirement plan?
I guess the first thing you mentioned, the self-directed IRA.
Okay, yeah. I probably wouldn't do that if it were me. I mean, there's additional complexities there of just the premium on the buy and the sell, and then you've got to store it. And, you know, you can obviously use some folks that would help you do that. There are a lot of gold IRA custodians that would help you with the self-directed IRA and actually secure the gold for you. But in my view, having a 10% allocation of the precious metals is probably the right number, not to exceed that. Some folks think that, you know, we're going to get into really hard times here in this country, and therefore they should really start to overweight in gold. I'm just not there. I think this market will recover as soon as we know the Fed's done raising rates. Yes, we've got some longer term challenges here in this country that we've got to deal with, but I don't think those are going to come to roost anytime soon. And I think your very best opportunity to build wealth and overcome the effects of inflation is a stock and bond portfolio with a modest allocation to gold, either physical gold or a gold tracking investment, but probably not more than 10%. That's just my take on it.
I'm just curious, would you mind me mentioning a company that I was that I was looking at?
I can't weigh in on a specific company as to the pro or con there. So I think you need to do some research on that. Read plenty of reviews before you make a final decision there. But we don't give specific advice on individual companies or investments. So I think we've got to keep it more general in nature. But I like the way you're thinking. I think absolutely having an allocation there in your investable assets makes sense. And it will just keep you properly diversified, as we read it in Ecclesiastes. That idea comes right out of God's word. Hugh, thanks for being on the program today, sir. We appreciate it. Back with our final segment just around the corner. Lines are open at 800-525-7000. Stick around.
Scripture is clear that the whole world needs to hear about God's plan of salvation. It's not an option. It's a life or death decision. That's why Christians should be compelled to share the gospel. That's what we'll learn to do this week on Truth for Life with Alistair Begg.
Truth for Life, weekday mornings at 11:30 Central on AFR and online at AFR.net.
Texas has banned puberty blockers, hormone therapy, and other trans medical interventions for children. Some of us are grateful and some are angry. I wonder why so many are pushing immature, impressionable kids down a life-altering path so soon in life. Youth lack the maturity to make life-altering decisions. Responsible adults should protect them, not lead them down a path they may later regret. I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
45,000. That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
You know, if we're going to operate from a biblical worldview as it relates to money management, we have to start with the idea that God owns it all. That's a game changer in terms of how we manage money, because it puts God in his rightful place where he's always been, and that is the king of everything, the owner of everything. Remember, Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." That means it all belongs to him, which also means that we have a high calling as money managers of God's resources, the King of Kings resources. That's a incredibly high calling. So how do we approach that? Well, we have to understand the heart of the master. That's how any steward manages his or her master's resources. And we do that by going to Scripture, to God's Word, to say, what are the principles, the passages, the big ideas and themes that we should hold God's money loosely, that we should give generously, that we need to live with contentment, that we can't let money become an end, but it's a means to an end, a tool to accomplish God's purposes, and that having more than we need can be a distraction if we allow it to. You remember in the parable of the sower, that which robbed in the story the 30, 60, 100-fold return from the fruit of the word was the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things and the cares of this world. If we get too focused on the here and now, the temporal, we will miss the opportunity to keep our eyes focused on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and stay focused on the eternal, the life that is to come, and our ability to send God's resources on ahead through our giving. That's the treasure principle. So we've got to guard our hearts, but we also live in the here and now. And so we want to apply God's wisdom to our daily decisions and choices. We want to help you do that on this program. We've got some lines open today. We'd love to hear from you at 800-525-7000. Let's head right back to the phones to Ohio. Hi, Thomas. You're next on the program, sir. Go ahead.
Hello. Hi. I'm 62 and retired. I was in an accident several years ago, got maimed in that. I'm on disability. Basically, I keep hearing people calling saying they have $250,000 whatever or more in an IRA to invest. What do they do with it? I have, if I scraped everything together, maybe $8,000 to my name. Is there anything I can do with that to grow that money, to do something positive with it besides let it sit in the bank?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the key is to decide kind of what the time horizon is. Now, did you say that's in an IRA already?
No, I don't have an IRA or anything. It's just in a bank account.
Okay, very good.
It's like 3/10 interest.
You know? Yeah, no problem. Do you have, Thomas, what I call an emergency fund, some liquid savings separate from this $8,000, or is this really the extent of your savings?
That's the extent of my savings. I just set aside $3,000 in my mind for emergency fund.
Yeah. Okay. See, I'd like for you to have a minimum of 3 months' expenses in that emergency fund. So I think perhaps seeing this whole $8,000 as that which you would fall back on. The problem is, if we go ahead and put this to work, and we could, you know, maybe drop it into an IRA and invest it and try to grow it for the future, is if you need the money and the unexpected always comes, and that's why having that 3 to 6 months worth of expenses in an emergency fund is so key, you would have to potentially sell those investments at a loss. We're headed into likely a recession later this year. The market will likely retest its lows. It may go lower before it goes higher, even though we're up a little bit today. So I don't want you to get into a situation where you haven't to rely on credit cards because something came out of left field versus, you know, having to sell these investments at a loss. So I would probably just move this into a high yield savings account. So you're not getting 0.3%, but you're getting 4% plus. And that's possible now in a bank account, probably an online bank with FDIC insurance. And what I would do is link that online savings account to your existing brick and mortar checking account so you can move money back and forth as needed for the unexpected. But it's also out of your kind of regular spending account that you use for your monthly bills so that it's separate and it doesn't get used up unless you make a conscious decision to do so. The way to find the best bank for an online savings account where that would be fee-free, you're not paying any maintenance fees, and you're getting a really attractive interest rate like 4% plus with complete liquidity and FDIC insurance, would be to go to bankrate.com and you can search for the highest yielding bank accounts and savings accounts out there. Again, it's bankrate.com. And then you could just move that money over. And although 4% isn't terribly exciting, at least you'd have it working for you. You're getting a decent return. But the key is that it's safe and it's liquid when you need it. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. That's all I've got. And I've got some gold and silver, just a little bit. And I'm not sure exactly what to do with that, except let it sit in a box.
I think that's typically what you do with gold and silver is just hang on to it. You know, you don't want to be buying and selling it a lot because you got this cost of the transaction. Unfortunately, it's not generating any income for you. And so the other option would be you decide to sell out of it and put that money into a stock and bond portfolio. But if you'd rather just hold the precious metals, you really just probably want to sit on those and hold them for long-term appreciation. But I think the key for that $8,000 is to get that working for you. Don't pay any fees on it, but you can get at least a decent interest rate right now. And then you've got it safe, but also readily available as you need it. Thomas, we appreciate you being on the program today, sir. God bless you and call back anytime if we can help you. You know, folks, just a bit earlier in the program, we were talking about this idea of estate planning. And I made the comment that estate planning is for everyone. You know, often we think it's just for certain groups of people. And there are some misconceptions. The first misconception I mentioned earlier is that estate planning is only about death. And what I mentioned is that, yes, it does, a lot of it happen at death, but it also has to do with when or a time comes, perhaps, where you're incapacitated, which is something we all need to think about. The second misconception is that estate planning is only for retirees. That's false. While retirees typically have more assets and a shorter time horizon, only God knows the hour of our death. So every adult needs to make a plan. Every adult needs a will, at least. Without one, the state, your state where you reside, decides where your money goes. And here's a key one. They decide who gets guardianship children, if you have minors living at home. And so it's critical that you have a will for that reason. Without an estate plan, some of your property, including your house or your car, could end up going through probate, increasing or delaying the distribution to your heirs. And so you just want to know about that. If you're remarried, especially with a blended family, an estate plan is crucial given the complexity of blended relationships and finances. If you have a complicated financial picture with investments and property, maybe a business, an estate plan is really essential. So don't just think, oh, that's for maybe a season down the road. It doesn't apply to me. No, it's important that every adult have an estate plan. And beyond that, it's critical if you have children living at home. The final misconception I want to mention today related to estate planning is that it's only for people with major assets. That's just not true. Estate planning is really essential regardless of how many assets you have, and that's because most important things in your life aren't assets at all. They're people. An estate plan protects your family, again, especially your minor children, by designating beneficiaries and the distribution of money for the children's benefit. No matter how much you have, you still want to make your wishes known in case you become incapacitated. So an estate plan lets you choose the person who will handle your finances and make sure you're taken care of in the way you want. Whether your resources are many or few, it will also outline your wishes for your giving after your death so that your giving dollars benefit the organizations, charities, your church that really matter to you. That's a key part of this as well. Now, it can be complicated because each state has different laws in place, so this is why I really recommend having an estate planning attorney put all of this in order and update it as your life circumstances change. Yes, there are online free tools, but I like the idea of somebody who's a competent professional asking you the right questions, making sure that the documents comply with the laws in your state, and beyond a will or a trust, that you, again, have that durable power of attorney if you're incapacitated. You have that healthcare surrogate. You have that living will that is going to give end-of-life directives about how to handle end-of-life decisions if you can't make those on your own. Those are all really important. Here's the bottom line, folks. Estate planning is an issue of good stewardship, and that's why I recommend it for every adult. But it doesn't have to be a cause for anxiety or fear. You remember, as Jesus reminded his disciples in Matthew 10:29, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside of your Father's care. Even the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than the sparrows. God loves you. He will provide for you. He will never abdicate that responsibility to anyone or anything else. But our job as a steward of God's resources is to be well prepared and planned as a manager of what God has entrusted to us. You remember, this idea of wealth transfer and estate planning, it's the last stewardship decision you will make. We want to get it right as we transition into glory if we've surrendered our lives to Jesus. And so think about today, perhaps putting an estate plan in place, remembering that it's not just about death, it's not only for retirees, and it's not only for people with major assets. It really does apply to every adult. I hope that's helpful to you today. Well, folks, we covered a lot of ground today, and I really appreciate you all being along with us today, your calls and questions. We're always grateful for the chance that we have to spend with you as we gather together each day here at Faith and Finance on American Family Radio to mine the scriptures and apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. Hey, let me mention, if you value this program and you're a part of the Faith and Finance community, we'd appreciate your gift here before June 30th, the end of our fiscal year, on our website at faithfi.com. Just click give. That's faithfi.com. Just click give. This is a critical time for us. Thanks to my team today, Robert Youngblood, Devin Patrick, and Robert Sutherland. Couldn't do it without them. You have a great rest of your day, and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.